It's the playoffs. Go Pack Go. Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast. Go Pack Go. Touchdown to Musgrave. All aboard the Jordan Love train.
Go Pack Go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. We're coming with our delayed reaction to the Cowboys game, as well as previewing the upcoming playoff matchup against the 49ers. Will Jordan Love avenge Aaron Rodgers and knock them off? Wow, would that be special? We dive into the prospect. Thank you for tuning in. Let's
Welcome
get into today's
back
episode.
To another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichstead. I'm your host and Packers fans. How does it feel to be still in the playoffs? The Dallas Cowboys are sent back to the summer vacation houses because Green Bay still has more football to play. We're rolling. The Packers look tremendous on the field, led by their star quarterback, Jordan Love. So we're going to preview the upcoming matchup against the 49ers, talk more about this Packers team, a little playoff talk around the horn, and then, you know, also update you on the Jordan Love contest that we're running. You can win a jersey from NFLshop.com. $140 value, official, in your size. All you got to do is send Ike_Packers a DM on X. So welcome in from the over 100-plus countries. We appreciate all of you. I'm joined by my co-host today, KJ. KJ, one day later, after sleeping on it, how are you feeling about that victory?
Packers fans, it is so great to be here with all of you. Everyone listening in from around the world, we've got some very exciting news. Ike Packers has exploded in the charts, and we are now charting super high in many countries. I want to give a quick shout out to all the Packers fans listening in from Portugal. Ike Packers right now is the number 2 football podcast in the entire country of Portugal. I've heard nothing but amazing things about Portugal. I hear the flight's a little shorter, right, because of its proximity. I hear you got to go check it out. It's got great food, obviously. Cristiano Ronaldo's from there, great beaches, a little bit of everything. But we can't forget about other countries either, like Mexico, where Ike Packers is charting number 6 overall of all the football podcasts in Mexico. We're talking football Americano, obviously. A lot of respect to our Mexican brothers and sisters. A lot of respect for the beautiful rivalry they have in soccer with our U.S. men's national team. We're charting 6th. I just want to give a big gracias to all the people in Mexico listening in. And then Japan, right? This is one of the coolest things about this show is that we're global. This isn't just a localized Packers fan base. This is an international community, an international brand. And we're actually number 8th of all football podcasts in Japan right now, in addition to climbing up the charts in America. You know, we're significantly high in America, but I'm holding out for even higher. So, yeah, I'm really excited. Thank you for having me, Alex. The Pack are back. The Pack never really went anywhere. I think I was reflecting over it because I was putting together some stats on Zach Tom, who allowed 0 pressures on Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons' new deal is expected to reset the pass rusher market. He's expected to get more than Nick Bosa, who got $170 million. So we're talking something in the range of like 5 years, $175 million, something absurd like that. Zach Tom is making 4 years, $40.3 million. $4.3 million deal. He's making like $1 million a year, probably half that after taxes come through. And he's stifling one of the best edge rushers in the game. That's amazing. But it made me think about what David Bakhtiari said in the offseason. He said, this is a rebuild. Anyone who's denying it isn't really, you know, involved. He basically came out and said that the Packers are rebuilding. No one here really wanted to accept that. You know, no one in this community really wanted to accept that. I know that a lot of people kind of assume the Pack would be rebuilding, but that's not the case. The Pack never went anywhere, and they smashed the Cowboys in the mouth. They smashed Mike McCarthy in the mouth. Oh, so special, man. I can't wait to just expand on yesterday's immediate reaction pod. Go check that out if you haven't. Thanks for having me.
Yep, Packers fans, the emergency reactions are always tremendous. Those are out. We did one yesterday. Go check it out, as KJ mentioned. Where I want to start is I kind of just had this feeling of, did that really happen?
Yeah,
all
was that a
day
dream?
Today? Was that a dream? You wake up, you're a little, you know, maybe depending on where you watch the game from, you stayed up a little late for that one.
I know I did.
And you wake up but you're feeling on cloud nine. It was easy to wake up when your Packers are still going in the playoffs because you know it's going to be a good week. I did. I was like, let's go. I'm ready to go to work on a Monday. I'm ready to dial in. What are the photos? What did I miss, right? And Packers fans, you have probably seen it all. The Jordan Love talk is going around town, but I think what people are really trying to sell more than what I think is really deserving is somehow this narrative that this was like a shock in Dallas. And I don't really see it as that type of result. Mike McCarthy, at this stage in his career, is going to give you those type of duds in the playoff if you hire him to be your head coach. I said it. Nice guy when he was a Packers coach. Took us to the Super Bowl. But if you're hiring him, it's at your own risk at this stage for a playoff dud. Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb did get in his own head in the first half. We all saw it. Yeah. And he put himself in a funk. And he probably even put Dak in a funk because then Dak tried to force it into him. Darnell Savage saw it come and picked it off. That was kind of what broke down in Dallas. It was when you got to the cream of the crop, who were their best players, who were our best players, regardless of the stats. J-Love, Jair, you could even say Aaron Jones, better than CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, Cage. Is that a bold take, or is that just the proof in the pudding at this point?
Yeah, man, I think the Packers, you know, the results speak for themselves. I really think Micah Parsons has a lot of talent. I really think CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott are also overrated. But, yeah, man, I mean, it really all depends on what you do on the field, right? So for the Packers to come in and be the underdog and not just win, but win definitively, it speaks volumes. And I know that a couple points I want to touch on, Devontae dependency syndrome. We've seen it years and years and years and years and years, locking on to your number one guy, whether it's Jordy Nelson, whether it's Devontae Adams. Hey, we gave away a lot of Devontae Adams jerseys in the Ike Packers community, but it doesn't mean that I was happy taking all those L's prematurely in the playoffs or even missing the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's better if you don't have a guy you lock onto. Like Dak locked on to CeeDee Lamb, and God forbid he couldn't throw to CeeDee Lamb. He had to throw to Jared Cooks Brandon Cooks or Jake Ferguson. Man, and we clamped them. Like, we clamped the offense. But another thing, you brought up Mike McCarthy. How many years when we had Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, Packers fans, that we had such brutally slow starts, we were the Cowboys, right? Like, the Pack might, you know how the Cowboys put up, like, 31 points or whatever the final score ended up being? It's like the Packers would do that, too, against the 49ers. They'd be like, oh, Aaron Rodgers put up 28 points, but he didn't have a defense. It's like, well, maybe if you go down like by 40 points early on, you can get some garbage points. And it all depends
garbage
on
stats.
How you start. Garbage stats. Exactly. The Packers had a fast start. It makes a world of difference. And the 49ers, Packers fans, we touched on this last night, not only are they coming off a bye, so they're a little rusty, they're a little off-season mode. Like, picture yourself if you take a week vacation, right? And maybe you have, like, 10 days off. It takes you a little while to get back into it, right? Like, you may not hit the weights quite as hard. You may not hit the emails, the work quite as hard. You know, it might take you a week or two to get back up to full speed. Well, not only that, the 49ers rested their starters in their final game of the year, I believe. So we're talking a 2+ week vacation. I know that when Alex and I go on 2+ weeks of vacation, there are adjustment periods when you're coming back. So I think this is a tremendous advantage that no one is really talking about that favors the Packers. All the analytics, all the models that spit out all these predictions, they cannot take into account momentum, and that is a severe lapse in the judgment of what's going to happen in all these games. I really have a feeling the Packers are going to win this this weekend, Alex. What about you?
49ers have won 7 of their last 8 to finish off the regular season, so I'm just going to pump the brakes a little bit on that. The Packers
I respect
are, of course,
them.
A hot
I respect
team.
Them.
You have to respect that they're just a winning ways franchise. If I read off these teams they've beat, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Philly, Seattle, Arizona, and Washington. Their only loss has been to Baltimore. That was 33-19. Arguably because Baltimore has been in better form than the 49ers.
And they
had 4 interceptions that game. That's what it took to pretty much knock them off. If I look at the 49ers three
Who else
losses.
Did they lost to?
It's when Purdy's throwing interceptions. They lost to Cincinnati. He threw two interceptions that game. They
Solid
lost
dude.
At the Vikings. He threw two interceptions that game. And they lost against the Browns. He threw one interception, was sacked three times that game. Purdy, when he's throwing picks, is vulnerable, and the Packers truly are creating turnovers. That was another thing, KJ, kind of is under
it's everything.
Emphasized.
It's everything.
That went down yesterday is the defense was making turnovers. Jaire Alexander, huge turnover. That's a possession in the playoffs. Then you have Darnell Savage, momentum killer. You can't, like, value
sticking the knife in and twisting it.
Yeah, the amount of, like, wind out of the sail that took, right? If you had, like...
That killed the will of the Cowboys.
It was like Jon Snow, you know, when the little boy came up at the end and just to stab Ollie. Him one more time. Yeah. Darnell
just
Savage,
sure.
Pick six. Yeah. But
well, and I want to add on what you were saying, Alex. There are first-half teams and there are second-half teams. And, yes, I'm talking about in-games, but I'm also talking the entirety of the football season. I'll give you an example. A lot of years, the Packers were a first-half team. We get, like, you know, 9 or 10 wins early off, coast in the playoffs, and then fall apart at the end. And the Miami Dolphins are another great example. Every year, they're a first-half team, the warm weather, but when the weather gets cold, they can't do anything. A lot of people might say the Chargers, the Jacksonville Jaguars, like a couple other warm-weather teams are like that as well.
Vikings.
And if you look at the second half of the season for the 49ers, Brock Purdy has only faced one playoff caliber defense, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. And what did he do in that game? 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Yes, the Packers defense has their shortcomings, but they're rolling right now, and I would absolutely consider them a playoff caliber defense for a lot of reasons. 1, we're in the playoffs. 2, we won a playoff game. 3, you look at all the talent on our team. I put up a couple tweets on X on Ike Packers. Go check that out if you haven't yet, about individual contributions. Man, I mean, Brock Purdy in the second half of the year, he's used to facing cupcakes. And Jordan Love is, what, 23 TDs, 1 pick over his last 9 games? All this is making me believe that I'm not going to get too ahead of ourselves. I'm not going to get too high on our own supply. But all of these factors, Packers fans, are making me believe. I believe. I really believe.
But it's going to be a tight game. It's going to be far tighter than Dallas.
It's
because
tight.
We forgot about Brandon Ayuk in our emergency reaction podcast, saving our preview for today. And Packers fans are letting us know that we didn't even mention that they also have Ayuk, a 1,300-yard receiver, to go along with Kittle, Samuel, McCaffrey on the offensive weapon size, usage, the fullback as well. And so, Gage, maybe Brock Purdy doesn't have to do much, really. And I don't think he's had to do much all season. He's kind of just riding the reins, right? Like, it's easy to steer the ship when the sea is smooth. But right now you're getting a Packers team that's kind of like the party wagon. Like, we're partying over here. Like, we're
the
having
Black
fun
Pearl.
Over here. The Black Pearl, baby. Like, you see Jack Sparrow. You see Jordan Love. You see the boys. We're coming in, Cage. And there's just something different about that ship, man.
Yeah. like that ship just cannot right be now. Sunk.
No.
They're trying to sink the Black Pearl, but the Black Pearl just comes and wreaks havoc. That's what the Packers are right now. And, you know, going off to what you were saying about the 49ers, Al, basically about, like, their, you know, what does Brock Purdy actually do? We've been saying it for years and years, like, the Packers need to take a page out of the 49ers playbook and get some weapons for Jordan Love that they can just, like, dump off easy 5, 6, 7 yard passes, just like Purdy does to Deebo Samuel and, you know, Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey. Now we have those guys, you know, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs, Aaron Jones. We've got those exact same weapons, and it gives us just as much capability, I think, as the 49ers offense. I mean, their weapons are probably a little more stacked, but ours are pretty dangerous compared to years past. What do you think?
I feel you were spot on, because another reflection moment from today, post later reaction, is Romeo Dobbs balled so hard and
Big
kind
D-Dobbs,
of like
baby.
under the radar, right? Like, he had over 150 yards, Packers fans, including a touchdown, including many sick catches early on in the game to build that confidence for his quarterback. You saw CeeDee Lamb let two go right through his mitts. The guy had grease on his hands, and Nope, Romeo Doubs, the guy out of Nevada, right, the lower pick, he was coming in clutch cage. So that, to me, shows that, hey, I'm not so intimidated by Brandon Ayuk. I'm not so intimidated by Christian McCaffrey, even. I want to see it out there with McCaffrey. I want to see it out there with Purdy, too, before I believe in this Niners team. I'm sure they're going to be ferocious all around, just kind of like one of those physically dominant teams, Packers fans. So get used to seeing a physically dominant team maybe
probably
go at us.
Overall tougher than the Cowboys. I think that's a pretty easy call to make.
Yeah.
They're 49ers.
Like, J-Lo's going to be under more pressure than he was against the Cowboys. Our running game might not have just their way they did like they did against the Cowboys, against the Niners, most likely. Well, Fred Warner's got 132 tackles in the middle cage. He's always been kind of that anchor for that defense.
I love Fred Warner as a player, man. You know, the 49ers do have players you love to cheer for. Like, I love Deebo Samuels as a player, frankly. And I don't like the fact that we're going up against him. I don't love that. I love Kyle Shanahan as a head coach. I don't love the fact we're going up against him either. But Aaron Jones, like, we talked about Christian McCaffrey. He's probably the best running back in the league. You know, you can make an argument for a few other guys. But over the what have you done for me lately test, I put the stats on Ike Packers on X, so check that out. Aaron Jones is averaging 5.7 yards a carry and over like 111 yards for his last four games. And that's a streak. At this point, that's over like a month-long span. So
that's cooking.
If Christian McCaffrey is always a beast, Aaron Jones is just as much of a beast lately. But I want to emphasize how the Packers had like 10 of their first 12 plays were either a run or a play action play. So the Cowboys didn't really even know like what to expect. And that's kind of the key for the run is like you have to almost have those guys, you know, back off for just like a millisecond so your lineman can get the push, your running back can run downhill. Because if they know it's coming, it's stuff city. And we've seen that many, many times when the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, like, would be painfully obvious that they were running or painfully obvious that we were passing. I think that's something to really keep an eye on. As far as covering their guys, a lot of Packers fans have said, how are you going to cover CMC, that's Christian McCaffrey? How are you going to cover George Kittle? That's one of their unbelievable offensive weapons. He's probably the second best tight end in the game. Depending on any given day, he probably could be the best. But we'll see. I give respect to Kelce, even though I'm not a fan of him. Yeah, man, that's why you draft Quay Walker. That's why you have a guy like Darnell Savage. That's why you have options, right? Like, I'm sure Keyshawn will be all over the field. He had 11 tackles, a sack, and two pass breakups, so he'll probably get in on tackling
CMC. Why you sack
CMC
the quarterback.
And it's why you sack the quarterback, ultimately. Don't let him get the ball out, frankly. Don't let him... I guess that's going
to
be interesting.
To the
a lot of screens. I predict a lot of screens from San Francisco because they know that the Packers can get sacks. I mean, Lucas Van Ness had a sack. Preston Smith just continues his impressive just showing up to work every week and just making impact. I wish I could say the same about Rashawn Gary, but that's expecting too much lately. Hopefully he breaks out and makes me eat my words and gets two or three sacks like he's been known to do, because pretty much it's sack or nothing for Rashawn Gary. And when I say nothing, I mean literally nothing. He's very much underachieving right now. You can't ignore it. You know, someone texted us in the morning saying, you guys are the only podcast keeping it real about 52. And I'm a big fan of 52. Like, we've always pulled for him. I know a lot of people were upset when we drafted him, but 52 basically got paid. He's got to start producing again, and especially in the playoffs. Yeah, Quay Walker's going to be huge to cover those guys. Devondre Campbell's got to, you know, kind of regain some of his form. They have matchup nightmares, no doubt. But I like the fact that we have Quay versus, like, a Blake Martinez or Quay versus, like, you know, a Jake Ryan in years past. Like, Quay can move, and that's a major key.
What I saw out of Kenny Clark, besides the face mask, which was a bit in the moment, was a man-child. He's starting to wreak havoc in the trenches for Green Bay on that defensive line, whether it was stopping the run, kind of clogging up the lane, or even getting after the quarterback. It was Kenny Clark as an anchor. He's one of the better anchors
when he's playing the way he is right now, Packers fans. So where we are able to build our pass rush around Kenny Clark in this playoffs, okay, that's where you plug in, rotate guys like Lucas Van Ness, Enagbari, but you always kind of have Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary out there on the wings with him, and that's pretty formidable, Cage. Even for a Niners offensive line that's good, Brock Purdy has to expect that he's going to get the blitz. Joe Barry likes sending the blitz. I think the Packers blitz more than any team in the league. Let's let them play, throw it to our cornerbacks. I love a secondary that has confidence in jumping the ball. Darnell Savage, he went on a run, I think, 2 years ago, Cage, where he had a couple picks in, like, successive games or something like that. And so can't count him out here for another interception. Jair was walking back to the locker room. He's going to be fine. He's going to be a go. And so, hey,
one more thing.
They have the talent, but the mojo, as we've been kind of talking about, it's something to this game, because the quarterback situation, again, Green Bay has the advantage. Am I too biased for saying that, Cage?
No. But one more thing, because it is a very serious problem. How are we, or a very serious challenge? How are we going to cover all these, I would say, like, weapons like a tight end, weapons like a Debo in the short flat and stuff like that? Well, what did the Packers do so well against Dallas? They executed zone coverage to perfection. And zone coverage is something that a quarterback like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Patrick Mahomes, or Joe Burrow will pick apart all day long. Frankly, Jordan Love will probably pick it apart all day long. But as soon as you get below that elite tier, guys like Dak Prescott, who can't read the game quite as quickly, can't read the game quite as well, guys like Brock Purdy, who are probably in that, you know, certainly not top tier, definitely one of those more middle tiers, that's who you could maybe confuse with the zone coverage. If we execute the zone coverage like we did against Dallas, that's kind of the solution to cover these guys, Kittle, Debo. But then again, we all know how frustrating zone coverage can be at times when it's not executed well. So I think this is one of those things where it's going to be a significant challenge, but we have options. Maybe you got to make adjustments mid-game. Back to your question about Jordan Love or Brock Purdy, man. The whole league's taking Jordan Love over Brock Purdy. And anyone who says otherwise is probably in San Francisco, or and we don't know what kind of bubble San Francisco is, if you know what I'm saying. But, yeah, go ahead.
Here is some good Packers. Jimmy G is no longer the quarterback for the 49ers.
Hallelujah.
He was the ultimate killer, game bro. Manager. Yeah, the Packer killer, whatever you want to call him. He was able to get it done against Green Bay, and it was tough. And so I almost feel optimistic. I do feel optimistic.
Yeah, I like it better going against
name
Purdy.
As quarterback. I feel our chances are better against Purdy. I think if you're one of the members on defense, you look at that guy and think, let's go out there and show this man what the playoffs are actually right. Like, they've been building Brock Purdy up all year. He's the MVP. We're going to see another faux MVP out there. That's a bold prediction, but I don't know if I'm going to see Purdy ball out. 49ers could run away, but Green Bay has been playing very strong. Cage, where do you think Christian Watson fits into this matchup? He didn't really get much going in Dallas.
You know, I was happy to see Christian Watson get a catch, and I was happy to see him play, because that's not a given for him. And I was happy to see him actually fight for yardage on the 1 9-yard catch he did get. So this is KJ going ultimate glass half full optimistic, right? Jaden Reed had 0 catches, 0 yards. Him and Christian Watson, you could argue the Packers' two most dynamic receivers. But then again, there's Dontavian Wicks, there's Romeo Dobbs, there's Bo Melton. But Jaden Reed and Christian Watson, very explosive players, 1 catch, 9 yards combined. I predict, Packers fans, they're going to 10x that combined this coming week. I think between the two of them, you're going to see 10 catches, 90-plus yards. I might even throw a TD in there. Oh, man, I hope Christian Watson kind of, like, tap into his talent, because has he really tapped into his talent all year? I know he certainly did a few games last year with the Packers and Rodgers. For example, when you know, Rodgers threw him those 3 bombs, he had 3 TDs in 1 game. I know that during the Eagles game, when Love came in and threw him a slant route he took to the house, that was tapping into his talent there. But, like, I can't remember really a single moment from 2023 where he did. He did get, like, a TD, I remember, a certain game, but where is the Christian Watson that was, like, just the otherworldly sprinter, like Usain Bolt on the football field, while also being fast and dynamic? Oh, man, I haven't seen that guy in a while. Jaden Reed, I'm fully confident. I'm fully confident in Jaden Reed. He's like, yo,
happening. Christian Watson, he's one of those players where you hope when you see him out of the bus, he like booms. He's boom or bust. That's what he is at this point in the playoffs for Green Bay. We saw kind of a bust last week. And Jaden Reed, I think rookie, first game nerves. He looked kind of nervous. That says something, though. As you're kind of speaking about it, Cage, Dontavian Wicks, this is maybe the man
poise
that has the poise and maturity of like a playoff caliber receiver. In other sports, you know, guys can't stay on the court in basketball in the playoffs because they have like a weakness. I don't necessarily see a weakness in Dontavian Wicks as a receiver. He's a good route runner. He's got enough speed. He's got good hands. He's pretty good head. He's going to get better. And I think, Cage, that's what made him allow him to play a little better in that first game. And Romeo Dobbs, you could argue, is also the Packers' maybe second well-rounded receiver.
He just plays like a veteran.
Yeah, and the dynamic guys, Reed and Watson, they kind of had their nervous games and couldn't get themselves going.
Well,
but they'll be coming back twice as hard, hopefully.
One thing is just to give him a little bit of, credence or whatever the terminology that would fit this would be, they were doing a lot of distraction. Like, word on the street is the Cowboys focused their game plan on taking those two guys away, and the Packers beat him with the other guys. But that's a testament to Jordan Love because it means he's going through his reads. And that's one thing that, frankly, Rodgers used to never really do a lot in the playoffs. Like, he would do it in the regular season when he was winning those MVPs. But he would lock out a Devontae, man. And how many times yesterday was Love just under duress, shaking a defender, shaking out of the pocket, this way, that way? You know, the first guy wasn't always open, so he's heaving one after going through, you know, 3-4 reads. I mean, the Musgrave play, like, here, all of it. I think those guys are all going to continue just the positive things this coming week. I really feel good because if you're the 49ers scheming against the Packers right now, like, let's flip the script, Packers fans. Let's put ourselves in their shoes. Who do you prioritize covering, right? Like, who do you prioritize taking away? That's a very difficult decision. You only have
33.
One.
They're going to stop 33.
I think that's the key.
I do it from the 49ers. So they're going to look to kind of pack the box. Greg Olsen was saying it in the second half of the game, as well as several other, you know, very smooth compliments for the Cowboys. But he really wanted them to pack the box and Aaron Jones and just force the play over the top against the corners. And Dallas never did that. Dan Campbell, whatever his name is, Dan Quinn, Snyder, whoever the guy is in Dallas, he should not have a job after that display.
I don't know who their DC is, but yeah.
But I would say this. Bringing the conversation home to Jordan Love is that was an A-path, B-path moment. Think back to Christian Watson, his A-path, B-path moment in Minnesota, dropping kind of that bomb to start the career in a big, you know, pressured moment from 12, putting in the breadbasket.
Also, you have one job. You got to catch the ball. Paid millions of dollars.
4 to 5 times more A-path, B-path moment yesterday in this Cowboys games. He's going to Dallas, the biggest show in the NFL, for his first playoff game, AT&T Stadium. What a cooler location. I think of spectacle stadiums. I think of AT&T Stadium, and I'm not even a Cowboys fan. I just got to admit that place is iconic.
Yeah, it's a nice place, man. Yeah.
And so Jay Love is in there, probably gassed up to play. But Cage, he remained calmed. He remained measured. He is always calm under the pocket. You saw many times where he's on the move, backing up, stepping up in the pocket, avoiding
the
sack,
so he doesn't tear
jump
his ACL,
throwing,
protecting
finding
his knees.
Guys sidearm. This man
has
a different trait than Aaron Rodgers does when it comes to kind of this calm coolness in these clutch moments. He almost enjoys it. He's like moving his tongue around. He's kind of the fear factor. Like, they don't know how good this guy is. They're,
you know what,
they're
people
in shock.
Fear?
They underestimated him, and that is what is in the Packers' favor, is everyone continues to underestimate these guys.
Yes, we all know the burden of high expectations, whether it's in football or in life. However, people fear what they don't understand. And they don't understand Jordan Love. They fear the unknown. And that's exactly what Jordan Love is. Yeah, man, this team, they have scouting reports on Matthew Stafford. They have scouting reports on Jared Goff. You know, you might even have a scouting report on Brock Purdy. but Jordan Love, it's almost like you have to contend with how well he's playing and say, either we're going to scout him like he is an MVP caliber quarterback, or we're going to underestimate him and get clowned that way. Either way, it works in the Packers' favor. It's going to open up our running game. I think play action is absolutely critical. I think if there's one thing I'm nervous about, it's Anders Carlson, on top of just the fact the 49ers are an elite team. But if I were to tell you why I think the Packers are going to win, man, I think the biggest thing is the momentum, and I think the Packers are fearless. And the fact that, coupled with that, the 49ers have kind of gone, been drawn to a halt just by the scheduling. I don't even like the bye, frankly. You know, it's always good on paper. Oh, get healthy, blah, blah, blah. It's not played on paper. It's played on basically the football field. And
let's keep in mind they had that bye for a reason, right?
Prediction time. Give us a score.
Oh, I feel this is going to be tight as it can get. It's going to be 24-23, and I hope, I pray it's Green Bay. Green Bay, Jordan Love, they're going to be right there. This is going to be his moment of 49ers saga. Will he avenge Aaron Rodgers? I can't confidently say it, but I feel it's going to be down to the wire just because of the drama and the circumstances of this being such a rival of the Packers. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm right there.
This is going to just be a spectacle. It's a push.
It's a push.
In every way, because they're the most loaded team in the NFC, if I'm being honest, right? I look at this offensive weapons, their defense. They're the most loaded team. Their weakness is maybe they don't have an elite quarterback. Packers have that edge, I would say, based on what I've seen lately.
Holmes, they do.
And that's what I'm
saying. Being around the bush,
football, that gives you a shot. If you've got the better quarterback, we've all seen Friday Night Lights, right? You've got Vince Howard back there. I mean, you could have scrubs on the side, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You can have scrubs on the side.
Michael B. Jordan. I'm going to go Packers 24, San Francisco 17. So I think it's going to be a one-score game, a little lower scoring. And I think the Packers are going to win. I think we're going to come in fearless. No one's telling us we can or cannot, you know, what we can or cannot do. And we're going to win on the road, and we're going to say another one. And, man, I'm going to be so happy to celebrate with all the Packers fans. I'll be so ecstatic to give away this Jordan Love jersey on January 22nd. Don't miss it. Make sure you enter in. It's going to be special. Alex, any final thoughts?
Final thoughts are get loaded. We may have another podcast later in the week previewing, just talking some more Packers. But in general, this is what we've been building for. Jordan Love, he is the truth. This Packers team, the reason we were so hard on him all the time is because we saw this potential, not only in Love, but this roster. I'm sick of the talk of like, oh, look at what LaFleur's done, so magical. Yeah, it's been decent, but like this team is way more talented than people are giving them credit for.
And that's
mostly
why we fight so
around
hard for
10. It's surrendered around 10. I have faith in Love, believe in Love. That's my final thoughts. Packers fans, thank you for riding with us. If you like the show today, leave a 5-star review and text it to a friend. That's the number one way to help us grow. Cage, what are your final thoughts for the listener?
Bro, I just said them all. Packer going to win, and then we're going to win another one, and then we're going to be into the Super Bowl. Did I just get ahead of myself, Packers fans? I have a feeling. I think this could be a Super Bowl season. Don't go anywhere.
There is something.
Keep it right here on Ike Packers. Keep it right here. We'll talk to you all soon. Enter that contest. Share the show with a friend. Go Pack, go forever.
Catch you next time.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Ike Packers podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go Pack, go.
I saw you in all the lights.